On a Monday, we're talking about water resources in Wisconsin. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Ken. Thanks for being here. Our state is rich with surface water. Think lakes, streams, wetlands, aquifers, springs. Safe, clean drinking water is what we expect when we turn on our taps. But emerging contaminants, nitrates, PFAS, the forever chemicals, all threats to clean water. What is the most pressing issue facing our water systems? What water conservation project are you working on in your community? What rules should be adopted or amended to improve your drinking water? We're at 800-642-1234. Raj Shukla is Executive Director of the River Alliance of Wisconsin. It's a nonprofit focused on protecting and restoring water resources. Raj, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Wisconsin is one of 10 states where nitrate contamination in our tap water has grown steadily worse. There's this new report from the Environmental Working Group. What are you seeing on nitrates?
We're seeing different effects in different parts of the state, of course, because different parts of the state have different characteristics. But what we're basically seeing is that more and more communities, more and more families, more and more cities are running the risk of having elevated nitrate levels. And just to give you a sense of what that means, it can mean that your baby can't absorb oxygen the way that other people can because of the chemical's influence. It can mean cancers down the line for some people under specific conditions. So this is really a serious problem, and one particularly serious here in Wisconsin because of our large agriculture industry. Many of the nitrates that we see in the water system are coming from agricultural fertilizers. They're also coming from septic systems and people's own private septic systems. So it's a concern that is kind of ubiquitous across the state in a variety of different places. What we need to do is reshape how we grow our food and how we protect ourselves from sort of the after effects of the system that we've got right now.
So this is primarily a runoff issue?
It's in large part a runoff issue, but there are other sources of nitrates as well in drinking water. But when you look at the prevalence of agriculture across our state, and it tracks real closely with the growing levels of nitrates, the growing concentrations of runoff and pollution from farms.
Well, let's move on to the Kinnickinnick River, which is getting an automated trash collector. The group Harbor District announced this. What is that?
It's, I think it's part of a long sort of continuum of action that's happened in the Milwaukee region around its water resources. This particular project is an EPA-funded program, so it's received federal dollars for the machinery that you need to actually harvest trash and waste from the Kinnickinnick and Milwaukee rivers. The important part of this is, one, we're going to try and clean up the rivers, but two, that community, Milwaukee, has really put an emphasis on clean water as part of its economic agenda, not just to protect public health and to beautify scenery, but really as a driving force for tourism and for the economy in the region. And that's born from, or this is a continuation of action that's happened over decades to revitalize the riverfront on the Milwaukee River and bring more people to the city to enjoy the city and then to enjoy the natural wonders that the city's built around.
So these like floating booms, they capture the trash and then the trash goes onto conveyor belts that transfer it to like a dumpster?
Yeah, it's a fancy waterborne trash truck.
Wow.
It's a pretty neat system. And one that I can't really comment on the engineering of it outside of saying wow. But I can definitely comment on the array of voices that have focused on cleaning up water resources and making the city a hospitable place to everyone and everything, including the life in the river and the people that that use that river.
We're talking with Raj Shukla, who is executive director of the advocacy organization River Alliance of Wisconsin. We're spending the hour on the state of our water resources and threats. You can join in. What do you think should be the relationship between manufacturing plants and our water system? Do you take part in a local river and lake cleanup project where you live? Do you need a trash automated trash collector on your river? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Raj, let's go over to the Fox River, another huge cleanup there with the being the nation, one of the nation's largest Superfund cleanup projects. Dredging operations on the river have resumed for a 12th year to remove PCBs. How is cleanup going?
Well, they're near completion of this project, and there is no doubt that there has been progress over the last, last 12 years, certainly, and over the years before then, since we started realizing how dangerous PCBs were to humans and other life. We're seeing a similar kind of arc appearing around PFAS, around other chemicals that are used in manufacturing processes that we didn't know were as harmful as they are. But they're revealing themselves to be really dangerous to people. Again, source of cancers and other health challenges for folks. What you're seeing on the Fox River, what you're seeing down in Milwaukee, what you're seeing here in the Madison area where we're dredging area waterways to remove phosphates that are causing algal blooms and things like that in our local waters. You're seeing communities recognize the value of these resources for our health, absolutely, but also for the local economies. They want to clean up the Fox River so that folks can enjoy that river and can patronize the businesses around that river. And create a livable, happy community. And that is something that folks all across this state have been doing. Grateful that we're making progress on that front. But one of the things that we have to do going forward is not just deal with issues after they've happened, but try and prevent them in the first place and make sure that these places that are such a big part of our lives here in Wisconsin are protected from threats like that in the future.
Well, to remove these man-made chemicals, is dredging enough? Because you mentioned PFAS, which are forever chemicals. Can you dredge for those chemicals?
I think that's what we're trying to get at. You can't rely on going back and fixing problems like this, like hoping that technology or something is just going to erase some of the challenges that some of these chemicals bring. We really feel that part of our work to protect these waterways and protect this resource is to do the work on the front end and to examine whether these chemicals can have long-term impacts before we start injecting them into manufacturing processes and polluting our rivers and streams. We have made progress with some of the techniques that are being used to remove these chemicals. We can't rely on that. Given how widespread these chemicals are and how little we know about what the long-term impacts can be.
Talking about Wisconsin's water resources with Raj Shukla, he heads up the group River Alliance of Wisconsin. Are you concerned about lead in your drinking water? What about the human-made chemicals PFAS leaching into water? Do you live near a CAFO, a large farm operation with issues of nitrate runoff? How do you want policymakers to address these issues? Let's talk about it. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Raj Shukla right here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about our water resources here in Wisconsin on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin has thousands of streams stretching over 84,000 miles, more than 1 million acres of inland lakes, 1,000 miles of Great Lakes shoreline, and more than 5 million wetland acres. We're talking about the ways to protect and restore water resources. Do you live near a lake or river that completed a successful restoration or cleanup? Do you boat or kayak or canoe on rivers and lakes? What do you notice about the waters you spend time on? How healthy are your local systems? What pollutants worry you? Be part of this 800-642-1234. Raj Shukla is executive director of the group River Alliance of Wisconsin, and he stays with us. Raj, you've been thinking a lot about conservation and racial justice as it pertains to water resources. How is water conservation connected to racial justice?
Well, in the same way that every part of our society is connected to the issue of racial justice. We know the history of this country. We know that we are still struggling with some of our demons around race. And the conservation world is not immune to that discussion and hasn't been disconnected from the issues around race. I tell this story, I have told a story, and I have a version of this story in every part of this state that I've lived and worked. But I was taking a trip to go paddling an iconic river here in Wisconsin, a wild and scenic river. And I saw, I think it was two bald eagles. Three bald eagles on that trip, and I saw as many Confederate flags on that trip as well in various parts of that trip. But I think the point of, and I have a story like that in a pub in northern Wisconsin or a park in southeastern Wisconsin where I grew up, or a lingering kind of hostile stare in the part of Wisconsin I live in, here in the Madison area. I'm a person of color here in Wisconsin, one of the few that works in conservation work. Part of the reason why, I think, is that there are places in Wisconsin that bring much tranquility to many folks here, myself included, but there's another side to the story. And there some places that bring tranquility to some bring danger to others, or at least send signals of danger to others. And the conservation community is one that that needs to handle and address these issues just as much as any other part of society. I'm grateful that we have a board at River Alliance of Wisconsin and a team at River Alliance of Wisconsin that is committed to changing how the conservation community has acted and how welcoming natural spaces are to all people. And not just because of the moral imperative, but because we know that in order to tackle issues like PFAS or nitrate pollution or the algal blooms that are affecting everyone, we will need everybody to take action to protect and restore water. And we can't afford to be alienating anyone any longer.
Lead should be on that list as well. How are we doing with lead abatement, especially in communities of color?
Not nearly as well as we need to be. I think it's something like 90 communities across Wisconsin have lead pipes connecting people to their drinking water. And many of those buildings where they exist are older housing stock. That are affordable to folks who don't necessarily have a lot of money, and that tracks real closely, unfortunately, to communities of color. So once again, we see, and this is another way where the conservation community and the issues around race kind of intersect, the people who are affected first and sometimes the worst by some of our environmental challenges are the people that are most vulnerable in this society, whether that be because of economics or because of race. Obviously, we need to do something about that, change that dynamic entirely. And one of the best ways to do it is invite different voices into the work than have been there traditionally.
We're talking with Raj Shukla, Executive Director of the River Alliance of Wisconsin, checking in with him on our water resources, the protective efforts, the threats to clean drinking water, and the justice issues. You can join in. What do you think can be done to protect our water for future generations? What do you think is the most pressing issue facing Wisconsin's water systems? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Raj, I want to ask you about the Navigable Waters Protection Rule that went into effect last week, the new rule that's replacing the 2015 Clean Water Rule. There are lawsuits in the works. We know the Menominee Indian Tribe and the Bad River Band of the Lake Superior Tribe of Chippewa Indians have joined other environmental groups on a lawsuit. How do you feel about it?
Well, I think any time that protections are chipped away from water resources, it's something that members of River Alliance and our team at River Alliance take very seriously. And I think it's a great illustration of some of the challenges that we here in Wisconsin face. At the federal level, at the state level, protections that we have relied on for the last 40 years are being stripped away for a variety of reasons. We at River Alliance feel that it is now on us here in Wisconsin to take the lead in reestablishing protections that are even more effective going forward. And it's very, very important that we do that because the importance of fresh water is only going to grow over time. We live on a warming planet. I think it was 100 degrees around the Arctic Circle yesterday. We live in a world that where a lot of parts of the world are experiencing water stress. And what that means is that a whole bunch of attention is going to be placed on places like Wisconsin that sit on 20% of the world's accessible freshwater resources in the Great Lakes. And to give you a sense and give your audience a sense of what that means, that is about as much oil as sits under Saudi Arabia. So in a warming world with more mouths to feed, Wisconsin and the Great Lakes themselves are going to be a focal point for action. And some of that is not going to be necessarily positive action. There will be companies and nations trying to get access to the Great Lakes. And it's important for us here in Wisconsin, politically and from an economic perspective, to protect that resource and to make sure that we use that resource in a way that is safe and in a way that is equitable.
Let's take a look at mining in Wisconsin. Pollution from mining is also a problem for our water systems. Can you tell us about where you're seeing issues in, you know, with mining and what type of legislation you would be looking for?
Yeah, at the outset, what we're seeing are potential issues.
Okay.
We have a couple of projects, the proposed Back 40 mine just over the border of the Menominee River in Upper Michigan, that is a proposed sulfide mine just feet away from the Menominee River. And that is the river that separates Upper Michigan from Wisconsin. Sulfide mines are a particularly dangerous kind of mining. It introduces chemicals or has the potential to introduce chemicals into the water system that are forever kind of that create forever impacts. You know, when cyanide enters your water stream, that's very difficult to dredge out. When you acidify your water, it's very difficult to fix. And it affects hundreds of thousands of people who rely on the Menominee River, rely on Lake Michigan for drinking water. What I think we need to do is go back to a preventative model of regulating mining. And I believe that a mine should have to prove that it has operated safely without pollution before we, you know, before we allow a mine of that type into Wisconsin. That was a protection that was stripped away just a couple of years ago by the legislature and Governor Walker. I think we should restore that protection. It served the state very well for a very long time. But maybe, you know, it's not just about mining or just about agricultural runoff. It's about us looking at the water system in totality and creating a framework for managing that water that incorporates the various risks, doesn't just sort of silo them off into mining pollution, agriculture, whatever. It should be, how do we keep water writ large that is connected, that flows between rivers, lakes, groundwater? How do we keep the resource itself protected and whole? And that requires a different way of looking at management of natural resources. It's one that we at River Alliance are set to propose in just a couple of weeks. We'll be releasing something called the Wisconsin Water Agenda, which is an attempt to form a unified, coherent, connected system of management for our water resources that protects us from future threats like PFAS and immediate threats like agricultural runoff.
And we're going to talk about that water, Wisconsin Water Agenda. The River Alliance of Wisconsin is with us, Raj Shukla, Executive Director. What tops your agenda when it comes to protecting and cleaning up Wisconsin waterways? What do the lakes and streams look like near you? Are you worried about emerging contaminants? It's 800-642-1234. There's a line for you. We'll continue our discussion with Raj Shukla about protecting and restoring our state's water systems right after this news update here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're spending the hour on our state's water resources and efforts to preserve and protect them. Our water quality may be affected by many different sources and types of pollution. We have vast water resources, as we've been talking, but vulnerable to contaminants. So what tops your agenda for protecting our water from runoff and emerging contaminants? How would you rate the health of the lakes, rivers, and streams around you? And how do you take care of these waterways? Tell us about your initiatives and your priorities. 800-642-1234. Raj Shukla heads up the River Alliance of Wisconsin, and he's our guide this hour. So, Raj, you're going to be releasing the Wisconsin Water Agenda in the coming days. What are you hoping to propose through this agenda?
The first, a variety of things. What we're trying to do is articulate a vision for how we get from where we are right now, which is a system that kind of deals with challenges to the health and vitality of our water in a siloed way, in a way that is disconnected. And that seems quite different from the way that water actually behaves in nature. It's connected at every level. We are trying to articulate a vision that policymakers and local leaders can use to reconstruct the way that we manage water resources in a way that's built for the future threats that we can see right now, like climate change, like increased flooding, like forever chemicals that are being introduced into manufacturing processes as we speak, and we don't actually know all of the challenges that they might put forward. We've defined 12 principles that will help get us there. We've done that in collaboration with leaders all over the state, from leaders in First Nations communities here in Wisconsin to leaders in communities of color in Milwaukee to farmers to business people. We've gotten some of the brightest minds in the state around water resource together to articulate a vision. The first step is to make sure that Wisconsin prioritizes the health and safety of our water, prioritizes the economic value of our water to our local communities, at least on par with what we do with hunting, with what we do with roads. Water needs to be treated as what it is, which is the key to this state's economic future from our perspective and the key to this state's political future from our perspective.
So do you look at this priority as a funding comparison? How do you decide, or how do you relate what actually makes water a priority?
Funding is definitely a part of it. But I think there's a step before that, and you can look to states like California as a model that has its own brand of water resources challenges. But in recent years, after committed advocacy from local leaders all over that state, they've inserted language in their state's code that prioritizes the health and accessibility of affordable water to people across the state. That in and of itself, a statement of commitment to our water resources, is often enough to get the start, to get the ball rolling on specific sort of policy objectives going forward. I think that's a step that here in Wisconsin we should be taking, finding ways to, within the guiding rules and documents in our state, that we prioritize water because of its central importance to us economically, its central importance to us culturally, and what we know is going to be the importance of water on a global scale.
One point on your agenda is to manage water as it exists in nature. Help us understand what you mean by that.
Yeah, absolutely. Water management, natural resource management in general, is often implemented at local and county levels, and that's a good thing, right? Local leaders who understand their local conditions and build a system of management that addresses it. The problem is that water flows between counties and among various counties. So how can we manage the resource in a way that is that maps more accurately to what a watershed looks like, not just the county borders that we've drawn kind of irrespective of what the water looks like, but how do we make sure that we're managing things so that what happens in one county won't negatively affect neighbors downstream?
I see. So you also need a lot of different people at the table because water, as you said, knows no boundaries. It flows across counties and across states.
Absolutely. I think that we as a country are realizing the importance in some painful ways right now of making sure that all voices are represented in this country, and that not just a few interests are dominant when we think about how we're going to manage our affairs and how we're going to build communities here in the state. It's absolutely imperative that communities that have been long neglected, long ignored, long silenced, be brought back into the fold, and that we as a conservation community and those of us who've been sort of traditional conservationists take a moment to step back and follow the lead of those who are on the front lines of dealing with some of the challenges that we're facing.
If you're just joining us, we have Raj Shukla with us, Executive Director of the River Alliance of Wisconsin. We're looking at a range of issues with our water resources, and you can join in. Do you take part in local river and lake cleanup projects where you live? What do you think can be done to protect our water for future generations? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Bob now, joining us from Rhinelander. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
Hi, what's on your mind about water?
For 50 years, the state of Wisconsin has been a leader in water protection because of a lot of laws we passed in the 60s and 70s and 80s. But since 2010, a lot of that whole system has been unraveled by the legislature. So although it's really important, and I laud River Alliance for coming up with a comprehensive water management plan, unless people make it very clear to the people in office that this is really important, this isn't going to be passed. So it's really important that people think about water quality in November when they go to vote, because the system in Wisconsin is not only piecemeal, but has been unraveling for the last 10 years.
Bob, thank you for bringing that to the table. Raj, what about federal and state rollbacks, and how do you talk and lobby with lawmakers on these issues?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think that most of the lawmakers that we talk to on kind of a visceral level, they understand that water is important. Every one of them drinks water. Every one of them has family and friends that use the water over the course of the year, to, and certainly on hot days like today, for relief and for sustenance. What sometimes we find, though, is that lawmakers look at a system that's as complex as our water system and look at the scientific and practical challenges that are there, and it's overwhelming. It's difficult to find a way to address everything at once. We are very much trying to break that down. Part of what the Water Agenda is designed to do is to offer that vision, to break down the elements that we need to work on and provide lawmakers with a guide on how we get to a system that actually protects these resources. The first step, of course, is for this state to say that water is worthy of that kind of attention and worthy of prioritizing in that way. Bob's comments are true, though. This won't happen without the action of local leaders like Bob and like folks all over this state, demanding from our elected officials, from our business community, and from ourselves, demanding that we prioritize this resource. Part of our goal with the Water Agenda is to give folks a vision that we can rally around, and to emphasize how important this resource is, certainly to our lives today, but how important it is poised to become, given the challenges that we are already seeing signs of in our warming world, in our more flood-prone state. We're excited for the possibilities with what this agenda represents, and I think Bob's comments are and his energy are indicative of what we think we can achieve with this.
Let's bring in Kevin now, joining us from Madison. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. I just wanted to say my wife and I, early on when the coronavirus, after we'd been home for a month, we took a drive from Madison up to Viroqua, some back roads. And coming across this beautiful country, winding through the hills, we come across probably four or five tanker trucks, a couple of them up on a relatively steep hillside. It's the golden stubble left over from what's left of the corn. And what they were pouring on those fields was so disheartening that, I mean, you couldn't have painted it any more distinctly with a brush. It was just so heavy. They're within probably 200 yards of a river, and again, on steep hillsides. And then we wonder why we have so many polluted wells in southwest Wisconsin. That's all I have to say.
Kevin, thank you. Kevin, addressing runoff there and seeing it with his own eyes, he thinks.
Yeah, and this is, of course, something that folks have seen all over this state. The agriculture in this state is, of course, a central pillar to our economy, and we need to protect that industry as a way for people to feed themselves, feed each other, and keep our economy strong. We don't believe that there's a trade-off between a thriving agricultural industry and smart and safe management of our ecology and our ecosystems. In fact, we believe that the path forward for agriculture, one that will prove profitable, is protecting our resources and proving to consumers that we here in Wisconsin produce food in a way that is safe, that is clean, that is sustainable.
Spending the hour with Raj Shukla, Executive Director of the River Alliance of Wisconsin. Water, as you're hearing, critical for our health, environment, and economy. What regulations do you think Wisconsin needs to adopt in order to protect and clean up our water? How do you want policymakers to tackle PFAS and lead runoff? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Our state is water rich, and conservation groups are working to protect and restore water systems. What is the lake, river, or wetland that you take care of? I do what I can for the drainage stream in front of my house. On walks, we carefully pick up glass and litter to keep it out of the water. When we lived in Louisiana, we were especially careful about what made its way into our bayous and our storm drains, because absolutely everything flows into the Gulf of Mexico, and it's awful to see plastic bags clogging up waterways. Still time to talk about conservation efforts you're focused on. 800-642-1234. Raj Shukla stays with us. He's Executive Director of the River Alliance of Wisconsin. And Raj, you're hosting an online event tomorrow that includes a movie and Tia Nelson, the daughter of environmentalist and Wisconsin Senator Gaylord Nelson. Can you tell us about it?
We are indeed. Thank you for bringing it up. Tomorrow, we are going to be hosting an event tomorrow morning called Beyond Earth Day, Protecting Wisconsin's Waters. And you can go to wisconsinrivers.org, sign up for our action alerts, learn more about the work that we're doing, but also go to our events page and you can find out all the details and register. We'll be talking with Tia Nelson, daughter of Gaylord Nelson, about the ways that Gaylord Nelson inspired this state to care for our natural world with the energy that we have shown over the last few decades, and how we can bring that spirit back to our politics today. Tia, in her own right, is an inspiring figure who has lived a lot of life in the world of conservation and has a lot of lessons to impart on all of us. I'm excited to learn more about her father, learn more about what he taught us about bringing diverse groups of people together to reach for really big goals, and learn about the lessons that Tia's learned along the way as well, and what we can take from those as we try and push a really ambitious agenda around protecting our water resources. So again, head to wisconsinrivers.org, sign up for our action alerts, sign up for our biweekly newsletter, sign up for this event at our events page. It'll be tomorrow morning, June 30th. Hope to see you all there.
All right, let's take another call now. John is joining us from Green Bay. Hi, John.
Hi. I was calling about the fact that the lake levels are all at record highs. I was wondering, is there anything being done to try to figure out how to maybe drain them off, maybe to a water table or something, just so there's like a valve so it doesn't all back up and overflow to people's property? I mean, you can just imagine how much damage is going to be done if it goes up another half a foot, a foot.
Yeah, absolutely. And it isn't just lake levels. It's, you know, just the quantity of water that's going to be introduced into our system because of the bigger storms that we're seeing across the world right now. That is something that every part of the state is dealing with. Here in Southwest Wisconsin, just a couple of years ago, we saw record flooding with fatalities and with lives absolutely shattered because of the enormous storms, the kind likes of which we haven't seen here in this state. Surely stuff is being done and local leaders are trying to figure out how to manage those situations, but everything that can be done costs a lot of money. And it's imperative that the state and that the federal authorities understand that investing in water infrastructure should be among our first investments going forward. It's a way to manage some of these challenges at the local level and make sure that folks can enjoy these natural resources. It's also a way for us to manage what we see coming down the road, which is bigger and bigger storms dumping more and more water on this state. Flooding is something that does not mix well with us enjoying Wisconsin summers, and it doesn't do good things for a local economy. So investing in that infrastructure is absolutely imperative.
John, thank you. Let's bring in Mary now, joining us from Dale. Hi, Mary.
Hi. We have a small creek that runs through our town park next to our walking trail. And for years, you know, all the grass and everything around it is dead. So I knew they were spraying it, but this time I actually caught it on video of them spraying the herbicide right into the water. And I want to know where to report this or what do I do?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first place to go to is your local elected leaders. And, you know, this is the thing that I think it's a simple thing that not everyone thinks of as a way to like to conserve their local resources, but build relationships with your local leaders and make sure they understand that you care about water. You care about the health of your local waters. You care about the health of our state's water resources. But definitely go to your local elected officials. Your county is typically involved with managing water resources, though your city officials will have something to say as well, especially if this is on parkland.
Mary, thank you. We're talking with Raj Shukla, who is Executive Director of the River Alliance of Wisconsin. That's a nonprofit that works to protect and restore our state's water. You can join in 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Phyllis now in the town of Dunn. Hi, Phyllis.
Hi. Well, I'm calling because Enbridge, the Canadian pipeline company, is trying to build a new section of their Line 5 crude oil pipeline in northern Wisconsin. And it would go across the Bad River and the Tyler Forks River just upstream of Copper Falls State Park. And so it would put that entire park in danger because Enbridge has a terrible safety record. And if a spill happened, it would go down that chute of the waterfall, and then it would shoot through the Kakagan sloughs where the Bad River Band do their wild rice harvesting. And then it would go into Lake Superior and contaminate all of that. And people can do something about that because on Wednesday, July 1st, is a hearing of the DNR on whether to give them the permits to cross wetlands, fill in wetlands, cross waterways. And we need a lot of people to be speaking out against that. And so you can go, if you just Google DNR hearing line 5, you'll find the page where you can register and you can make public comments about this.
Yeah, Phyllis, thank you for bringing that. And Raj, what do you know about Enbridge's Line 5 proposal and the impact on our water systems?
Well, I think that among the most important things to discuss about that situation, and it is a dangerous situation, like any oil pipeline that crosses a waterway, accidents almost invariably happen. And the devastation is wide-reaching and lasts a very long time. One of the things that I think about with that particular story that that Phyllis mentioned is the leadership of the Bad River tribal leaders. And it mirrors the leadership that's been shown by First Nations communities across this state with respect to conservation issues. It's a story that is not celebrated enough, and it's a group of people in those First Nations communities that we don't do enough to support as a conservation community. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that Phyllis brought them up. And I hope that your audience understands that River Alliance of Wisconsin is absolutely committed to lifting up the leaders that are on the front lines on some of these challenges and following their lead, supporting them as they try and beat back some of the most pernicious threats to our water resources.
Well, in the last seconds that we have with you, how important is volunteerism to your organization and to other water groups, and how can people get involved?
Being a volunteer to protect and restore water is one of the best things that you can do to protect and restore water. You can do it a bunch of different ways. We manage programs to manage aquatic invasive species across our state. You can volunteer for cleanup events or our annual snapshot day, which is coming up later this summer. Go to wisconsinrivers.org to learn how you can get involved. And it's just a way for you to learn how to identify aquatic invasive species and remove them. But one of the most important ways that you can volunteer, and it's even easier than learning about aquatic invasive species and managing, though maybe not as fun all the time, is calling your elected officials, talking to the people that are tasked with managing these resources and are responsible for our community's health and our community's economies. Making sure that you build relationships with your local elected officials and that they know you care about our water resources is one of the most important things you can do as a volunteer. Sign up to do that, to learn more about how to do that at wisconsinrivers.org.
Raj, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure entirely. Thank you for having us.
Raj Shukla, Executive Director of the River Alliance of Wisconsin. Just ahead, it's On Point. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.